Come on, everybody out there, wake up. Or at least Auckland, which is where I'd like to place a special dedication. Let me start that again. A special dedication to Auckland. Good morning, Auckland. The votes are in, and no one can change the outcome now. The puppet dictator of the city that just swallowed up half a dozen other cities has happened without one word from you. I think every election nowadays is a false choice. And the media constructs that choice. And when you're trying to vote, people try to vote strategically. They try to say, I want to vote for the person who will win. And I ask you, why would you vote for the person who's going to win if it means that you lose? Good morning, Will.
Morning, Vinny. I mean, these people are so retarded, to be frank. Why would you need to vote for the person who's going to win? Who's going to win? You know what I mean? Like, it's just self-fulfilling prophecy in every level, isn't it? They're just making the dollar collapse. They're making, you know what I mean? They're just ensuring their own fate at every step of the way, aren't they? Digging their own graves, these people.
Yeah, and it's funny, right? It's because they're all these, you know, liberal leftists who are voting. And the problem I have is that they're the ones who got the whole process started with these forced amalgamations of Auckland. Okay? They set up the Royal Commission to do the dirty on us. And then the national government comes in, pushes it through, and then all things. God, we have a Labour representative to represent the super city. That'll really hurt National.
Because all the leftists say it's a right-wing-led super city, which is wrong. The right-wing has pushed it through, but the left-wing has started it. I mean, they're all scum.
They're doing, like, the switcheroony McFruity on us. If that's even a word.
I just can't believe these people. Yeah.
The level of sophisticated propaganda is astounding. And I think it's just a lack of education.
It's actually quite simple.
Yeah. But the levels are astounding.
They're not paranoid like us, Vinny. They think it's all just a big parade. It's like a Santa parade.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, that's why I use the term zoo, man. Society is a, you know, it's an open air prison zoo carnival. Stage play. It's just.
It's bloody Jurassic Park, man. With all the bells and whistles, it's still. Just some dude in a lab messing about. For goodness sake. There ain't nothing wrong with justice, liberty, and the good, and the finer things in life. So why the heck would you seek to destroy it or support its destruction? You are listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. One of the people I mentioned is probably why you're listening to the show. And we'll be right back. Logic structure.
I know, because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, It's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business.
It's business time.
Business time.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the COINTELPRO show with Will. It's the Vinnie Eastwood show. Welcome back. Now, today's kind of an auspicious occasion, and me and Will thought that New World Order kind of categorizes us and splits us into groups, defines us, that kind of thing, in order to divide us. So we thought we'd do a little bit of dividing of our own. There's basically four candidates in this election that we wanted to kind of focus on, just a little bit here, and categorize and chronicle them and their supporters. What kind of person would vote for this kind of scumbag? And you could probably do this in your hometown. Have a look at your candidates, define how badly they reek of scumbag filth nonsense, and categorize them. Make you understand the whole process a lot better. Because, by my recollection, the vast majority of candidates that wind up standing for public office come from high levels of private sector. And don't know what serving the public is all about, in general.
You wouldn't, just a warning for the...
hire a mechanic to do open heart surgery, would you?
And just a warning for the new age types. This will be judgment and slander and every ism you can imagine.
Oh, yes, there should be many an ism. So let's start off with my personal favourite. Banksy. John Banks, not the other Banksy that has wonderful artwork and such, but our local Banksy here is quite the opposite. And if you go to the Vinnie Eastwood show... .com, you can see a video of me and Will and me and Penny and a couple of other people and confronting John Banks in a very friendly, caring way, quite literally, and always being snubbed and being treated rudely by him, and he's just basically a joke. But as far as information on him goes, there were some comments about how his lineage comes from criminals. I believe his mother was a illegal abortionist in Wellington, in the 70s, I think. And father was dealing drugs at a rather high level. His eldest brother is a gang member, again, very high level. And so it's a family of criminality. So naturally, John Banks decided to get into politics, being the youngest son and the most entrepreneurial of the bunch. And of course, being a Freemason, it made it all that much easier. And Will, do you have anything to add to John Banks before we go into what his supporters are like?
Well, I wouldn't, you know, everyone has their flaws and their family and everything, so I don't think we can blame him for his family's, character, I think that's harsh, but the guy is harsh himself, and so maybe he, should attract that sort of hate. But I judging by his works, I suppose, he's a former police commissioner. He's a right winger in the sense that a lot of people understand, i.e. he's a fascist. But he's not truly right wing as in wanting to reduce the size of government or bureaucracy or anything like that, or taxation. Surely not. He has doubled rates in certain areas of Auckland. One of the areas I live in, he's at least doubled, in some cases tripled, people's rates. In fact, on my street, The average rates went up from about $650 a year to $1,300 a year. I tell people, it's like if I was to go around and put a brick through everyone's front window and you were to spend $600 to repair it, because you're not getting any more services. It's the same rubbish collection that John Banks contracted out to a bankrupt Australian company called TPI. It's the same couple of streetlights, and the roads are still full of potholes. And so it's like me carrying around, if I went to every door in the house and smashed their windows and cost them $600+ and gave them nothing, I would go to prison. If you're the mayor and you do it to the whole city, you get re-elected. And this is why I call people retarded, because they are. Because you can't make the stuff up, you know. Like, they don't care about facts. They're just like, oh, I like his Hitlerian moustache. I think John Banks is quite nice. I think he wants to get stuff done, you know, hanging people from trees upside down. I think he wants to get stuff done. That's what he is. He's one of these, you know, I just want to rip into these scum who trade in alcohol and everything else, like he's some sort of Puritan. And he's using all his background and all his criminality, Vinny, to legitimize why he needs to crack down on everyone else. You know, we do need to crack down on liquor retailers and stuff, but who gave them the licenses to operate the way they do? Auckland City Council. Prior to this rearrangement. Everything that he cites as a problem is literally part of their creation, just as his Freemason brothers do in the rest of the world. You know, like, you know what I mean? Well, they'd be mighty proud of him. I guarantee he's 32nd degree by now. At least. But yeah. Shall I start off in the characterizations of his voters?
You must.
I must. The John Banks voter, and I got some hardcore ones in my extended family. Ones that go and attend his bullcrap little meetings. And the official launch of his campaign this year was, in fact, partly organized by some of my blood relatives. Isn't that nice? So hi to you guys, you scum. Anyone who thinks the biggest problems in the world are graffiti, the odd drunk smashing a bottle down the street, overcrowded taxi stands, pigeons littering the streets, not enough Freemasonic temples around the streets. I mean, like, anyone who just thinks that all these little facile problems, oh, we need more palm trees planted in Albert Lane or something, you know what I mean? Like, these sorts of people, while everyone's been poisoned, those are the sort of scum that would vote for John Banks. He's going to get the palm trees in. He's going to get the taggers kicked out. This is the sort of... You know? It's those sort of morons. Oh, look, you don't see him. John Banks got 30 slabs laid down that little toilet block last year. He got a new base in there. You're saying he's not getting anything done? What are you talking about? They put stainless steel fittings in there. That's the sort of person who votes for John Banks. It's like, yeah, you know, you took a couple of $1 billion and you gave us a couple of sinks. Thank you.
And I can just imagine, like, there's people out there listening to this show right now who are just like, oh my god, I know somebody exactly like that, you know? And it's just like, oh gosh, isn't it wonderful that everybody's going through this all together?
It's so cheap. the subject. Like, that's this, you know, how we talk about, you know, what's your number? What does it take for you to sell out? Oh, I pay over $1,200 a year in rates. And I got a new basin down the end of my street. Isn't that awesome? Know what I mean? I think that's worthwhile. I think the government multiplied my money there and put it to good use.
It's a friggin' miracle of economics that I can pay $1 billion and get a sick.
What's more, though, is anything that is spent, he would have given to one of his pally contractors. Like he did a few years back, in about 2002, before he was kicked out in 2003 with Len Brown, Dick Hubbard, fluoridated cereal man, probably one of his brothers. In 2001, 2002.
Because I eat Hubbard cereal. Is it fluoridated?
Oh, we're diverging now here, side issue. But yes, the fluoride content of cereal is often higher in terms of parts per million than the fluoridated water because the way they process it. Yeah, anyway. All right,
but that's just in general muesli, not just Hubbard's, yeah.
It's just stuff in general that's processed in fluoridated water.
Anyway.
There he is. But anyway, John Banks in 2001, 2002, in fact, sold a public car park as head of the council, sold a public car park to a contractor called Whiter Matter Infrastructure. You can try and take me to court if you want, but Whiter Matter Infrastructure, you scum. You had John Banks on your board of trustees whilst he sold you something. And then after he sold the car park out, the public was so outraged and asked for the council to get it back. So he said, sure, I'll buy it back at 2.5 times the price. And now to this very day, 8 years later, the public is still paying $6 a day to park in this car park. $6 a day to the council to help the council pay off their 2.5 times buyback. So who made all this money? Who made the millions of dollars? Ah, people on the board of trustees. And one of them was John Banks. Oh, but Masons are truthful and honest and giving.
People don't believe it, is the thing. They just won't believe it. They won't believe that the people who are ruling your bloody city are con men in the very literal sense, in a very large degree. You don't get into high levels of public office anymore. You don't get kind of full disclosure of like global plans anymore unless you've already sold your soul. Pretty much. Honest people don't get into those realms. But you can always come back after going there. And there's a lot of turncoats and whistleblowers that are turning up out of the woodwork to reveal information like Will's just, you know, revealed.
That's why, you know, they won't take people to court for saying any of this and using their names and slander. Because they're wrong. They know they're 100% in the wrong.
But even if they did take it to court, for example, they wouldn't be able to do anything, right? The media would probably turn their back on the case for a start. They'd be like, oh, nothing. Unless, of course, John Banks was being offered up as some description of sacrifice. You know, like Rodney Hyde is. After he pushed through the Super City, hell of a lot of public heat being drawn on the government. And now Hyde seems to be taking a fall. I don't know. I see a pattern here, but maybe I'm just being paranoid. But the fact that the people who are now in control of the super city are the people who originally set it up, and the people who actually physically put it together are drawing all the heat for it. Isn't that strange? And the only thing that happens as a result is the corporations lap up, steal all of our public assets, and merrily run away, cackling as they go. Quite conceivably.
When people are way too pragmatic, they're just like, well, John Banks is the best of the bunch, you know, he's not perfect, and you can't be extreme about things, you have to compromise here and there. And there's these people, they actually think they're moderate. They think they're being reasonable. You know, that's, yeah, some people have some big problems out there. But they'll see. They'll get what they want. Maybe not the John Banks voters, actually, but yeah, the other side of the coin. The people who can see John Banks might not be a nice guy. They can see through a certain level of corruption. And the ones that call themselves awake, too, some of them, voted for this other guy, a leftist UN promoter, the soft option, Bill Clinton, the Barack Obama, the Tony Blair. His name's Len Brown here in Auckland, you know, and his wife, you know, was diagnosed with cancer not too long ago, which isn't nice for anyone. They use that as the bleeding heart pitch. I mean, if you're on the left, you have to get the bleeding heart vote. Always. So if you're on the right, you get the cold heart vote. I'm going to get tough on those criminals. I'm going to get tough on drinking. I'm going to get tough on speedsters. You know, we're going to have a 0 kilometer-hour tolerance on the speed limit. Brother, you're then brown. You have to use the, you know, sympathy vote.
What's the point in voting, as some people say? Well, I say if you're not going to vote, then vote no confidence. Because you've got no faith in the system, because the system doesn't serve you. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Into John Banks and John Banks supporters enough. What are we on to now?
Well, I suppose it's Len Brown, right?
I think we should mix it up and we'll throw in Colin Craig.
Oh, really? It's a hard one.
Because Colin Craig, he's a family-oriented guy. Believes in democracy, not 100% sure how up with the play on the New World Order he is, but successful businessman, entrepreneur of note. I'm not 100% sure what his business was. But has
property development.
Well, red flag right there. But
that is a red flag.
I could be wrong.
They have to do in the Matrix.
Yeah. And so he's made all this money, and he's using it, his purchasing power, looks like, so that he can get into politics.
Well, the only... We need money to do anything. I mean, we need money to grow the show. We need money to do the sort of stuff we want to carry out. And the only arguments I've really, really seen against Colin Craig is that he's got money. Or he's got backers with money, too.
I mean, I don't mind that at all.
Well, to me, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, neither. I mean, it's just a point of fact. I mean, like, he doesn't have a background in public advocacy or any of that. I mean, basically, for all intents and purposes, if I was to be unsuspicious and trusting, I would think that he was just a very nice guy who has made himself very successful and wants to really help the community out and has the means to get into public office so that he can help the community out.
With Colin Craig, it's either a very, very elaborate scam or he's the sort of guy I think he is. And
yeah, I think he's
pretty
genuine.
And when I met him, I was really impressed.
Yeah.
This is me meeting him. And I've met a lot of scumbags. And, you know, as have you, Vinny, a whole lot of scumbags. And so I was really impressed with him. And then when I found out that he was organizing with a friend of mine, Baron Braddon, who's organizing an anti-fluoridation meeting next to Takapuna Grammar High School a couple of weeks ago, I was even more impressed. And and speaking to him, you know, he's all for voluntarism. He's a true libertarian, I'd say, libertarian-conservative. He's for.
I got accused of being a libertarian last night.
Oh, so terrible, Vinny. I'm a big statist, and you're a libertarian. Who's killed the most people in history? Really? What did they say, Vinny? You anarchist libertarian.
Well, you know, actually, the word anarchist did come up as well.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, strange.
So you're against tyranny and you're an anarchist, you see? That's how most people see it. We need government. I think you reducing the size of government is dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I think that allowing people to be in office that are plainly and obviously not very nice people, you know, for a start, is whimsy.
So did these people, though, Vinny, like, I like getting these debates like you did last night to learn stuff, not to preach, you know what I mean? I want to try and learn stuff too. So did any of these guys put up any arguments that were novel?
Nope. Heard it all before.
It's sad, isn't it? And was it any good stuff you've heard before or no?
No, but what I did say, after I'd, you know, absorbed about maybe 5 minutes of Len Brown, I just voted for the guy who's winning propaganda. I said, you know what? I've heard that exact same thing from many other people who voted for Len Brown. A lot of it, word for word. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah. Isn't it interesting that political thought is repeated and then absorbed rather than read and understood?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. There's no understanding of ideologies before they go out throwing terms around, like libertarian or anarchist. Or, you know, so what concepts did they use? Did they call you the whatever they decided to call you?
Well, they asked how I reckon the city should be run, and I said, well, it should be as decentralized as possible, preferably back to, you know, and she said, oh, you're a libertarian, eh? You know, should we have like an anarchist society? And, you know, I was just like, well, no, actually, I reckon we should go back to the old borough council model, where the way that everybody got their streets trimmed and everything done by the council, and this was back in the day before we had modern technology, of course, everybody on the street had to pay rates, with the exception of one person on a street who was exempt from paying rates. And what that person's job was to know their street very, very well, know all the people and talk to them once a month about issues.
But society is too advanced for that. Society is too slave driven for that.
Yeah, I know, but these days it would actually be ever so easy, because one person could just simply send out one email a month, and everybody on the street replies back to that person's email address. You know, this can be done in I don't know, a couple of hours. You know, a couple of hours a month. Very, very simple.
With a record unemployment, it shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah. Not too bad at all. And with modern technology and the old borough council model, what they were doing back then is they were doing most of their stuff in-house. You know, like council works, were building the roads and cutting trees down, that kind of stuff, bearing the water, all those kind of things that are essential for a society to run, you know, smoothly. Infrastructure, for example, was all done in-house. And if you had a problem, you'd go directly to your council office and you'd speak directly to council engineer's assistant. You should go to the council engineer, draw up some plans, do it. And today, there are upwards of 56 forms, depending on the type of contract and the type of contractor. Immensely more complicated. Immensely more bureaucratic. And immensely more expensive. And immensely more corrupt. You know, in every sense of the terms, you know, it's clear-cut. As conceivably as clear-cut can be. There is no argument here. You can't argue with facts. But they still do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all how they feel, you know what I mean? And Len Brown is the feel-good vote. Just like I feel that Greenpeace is right about the XYZ, and it feels good to work for Greenpeace, and it feels good to do charitable stuff for Oxfam. Oh, yeah. And do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They're just feel-good foundations. Some feel-good foundations are actually quite good. I'm not being a total cynic here. A lot of them, though, are just co-opted, vacuous, time-wasting devices. Money laundering, literally. Money laundering devices for criminal Gambino families. That's what the UN is. The UN's a giant money laundering device. Does so under cover of
device. Afternoon delight. It's the UN family. We're going to stick jabs in your wife. Oi!
these big corporations own our government by way of all the debt they issue. Is it no surprise that our governments become money laundering devices? Taxation devices? Taxing the air we breathe here in New Zealand? Of course no. Of course it's not. But as it happens, as in each incremental tax comes in and sort of proves that exact point, people still deny that reality. And those are your Len Brown supporters, I would say. But yeah, going back to Colin Craig supporter, I don't know how to classify Colin Craig supporter because I don't know if there are that many, unfortunately. And it's like with Penny Bright, you know, I would say that, well, Colin Craig is the alternative, independent, non-party man on the right. I would say he's the right-wing equivalent of Penny Bright. So he's a businessman, hasn't got his hands dirty forever. People don't like that. People say he's not a worker. He doesn't understand, you know. To have an opinion, you have to be a worker, according to them. And then for business people to have an opinion, you have to be a suit. So you can't win. You have to be Superman, to be all things to everyone. Like John Key, he's done nothing his whole life. Apart from cause subprime mortgage collapses. But Colin Craig is the right-wing choice if you don't like the Banksy. And Colin Craig's a much better person, to be honest. And I'd say he attracts voters from ACT sort of party supporters, maybe. Yeah, the odd person who actually understands free market and freedom of choice over things like public water fluoridation. No?
You mean he wants to give us a choice about whether or not we're forced medicated? Oh, mate, that's just madness, Will. Why would anybody vote for that?
Of course, yeah. We shouldn't have choices there. That's a dangerous choice. Fluoride's good. We can't give the possibility of it being kicked out by some nutcase conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
real good for you, boy. I've been told it hundreds of times. Must be true.
In Christchurch, where the earthquake hit, Jim Anderson, the equivalent of Banksy down there, wants to rule with an iron fist and impose fluoridation on all the good people of Christchurch, even though they have perfectly amazing water right now.
Well, actually, not right now, because earthquake shook up all their rubbish dumps and all the mercury in the landfills and all of that kind of stuff just seeped into the waterways.
Oh, tasty. Yep.
Yep. And they say you can't, you have to boil the water.
But then on to, we covered Banks and Colin Craig, didn't we?
Oh, but it's like the New Zealand, just interesting, it's like the New Zealand equivalent of you can save yourself in the case of a chemical attack with duct tape. You can save yourself from poisonous chemicals in your water by boiling it. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You are that silly. I doubt it. Not you. And not us. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. And we'll be right back after the break.
Me driving and I won't stop, and it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, I'll let them all die in exasperation, have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them, and I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
I ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars.
Welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, and interestingly enough, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. And I think we've covered Colin Craig. Now back on to Len Brown. And yeah, first time I ever encountered Len Brown was at a meeting in South Auckland, Trust Stadium. And every question that he was asked, he dodged, pretty much. Every time that I see a politician dodge a question, not give a straight answer to the best of their ability, screams dishonesty. And I would never vote for anybody that screams dishonesty at me. Now, I don't know about you, but he seems a bit preachy. All right. For example, he doesn't sound like a political candidate when he speaks. He sounds like he's in a church giving a sermon, almost as though his way of governing is like a religious form of governance, but not a religion in the conventional sense, in which some countries are currently being ruled. The Catholic Church, among other dastardly institutions. But more like a religion of eco-genocide, to put it bluntly. Agenda 21 imposing person he is. But on the other hand, he's most likely the winning candidate because of how the race has been set up. And because, of course, John Banks, being such a pathetic little weasel, resorting to name-calling in debates and personal attacks, like the small little man he is, made it very easy for Len Brown to appear the grander candidate. He is, after all, a much better public speaker, speaks emotively, has lived in the poorest region of Auckland, Manukau City, or generally perceived to be poor and crime-infested, which I'm sure is just blown out of proportion, but then again, there'd be people who would totally disagree with me. And they'd probably be right and I'd probably be wrong. I'm wrong all the time, trust me. And I'll probably be wrong again. But for the meantime, he's been treating his people supposedly really well. Give them free pools to go to. So that the 60% of children that live in South Auckland that have never seen the ocean, when they live on an island nation but 20 minutes from a beach, can go and learn to swim. And everybody says, oh, that's so nice of them. I suppose it is. On top of that, he is instrumental in helping get private public-private partnerships involved with water. Palm off our water to private contractors. Hey, there's a sure-fired way to privatisation, isn't it? Which means, in the conventional, I guess, perception of what left-wing is, he ain't left-wing. So what is he?
He's mainstream. He's fake left-wing, just as John Key's fake right-wing.
Yeah. What do you do, Will, when you realise something like this? Because after all, we're talking about $28 billion worth of public assets and a population of only 1 million people here. That's just being shunted, you know?
Well, that's right, you know. What time do we find out today, Vinny, on the result of this? I mean,
oh, to heck if I know.
But it will be sometime this afternoon anyway. Auckland will most likely have Len Brown, a UN-loving leftist, soft, tall, crowned as super mayor, and you will see the hysteria now for the next week. The media will be talking all about it, and all about how he's a great man and everything else, a family man, a loving man, And then stuff will start to come out about Banks and how he, the previous mayor, wasn't such a nice man. Everyone knows it already. You know what? The previous week in New Zealand, this has now become an international story, by the way, for our American listeners. The previous, the last week in New Zealand, has the media has revolved. Still last night, the top story revolved around a broadcaster by the name of Paul Henry, who made some crude comment about our Governor-General, who happens to be of Indian descent, but New Zealand-born. Can you believe that, Vinny? The whole week has been about a crude single comment.
They do it all the time. Every time a politician slips up, or a media hack slips up, or an actor slips up, it is front page news. The world must know, because it's so freaking important. And we'll be right back. Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Incidentally, the Vinny Eastwood Show .com. Check out the video there. Mr. News hates Mayor John Banks. She's worth a laugh. We confronted him one time, man, Will, with what was it, Operation Northwoods. And he didn't like that very much. Quite fun, actually, calling him a shill, wasn't it, Will? Will, are you there? We seem to have lost Will. I will, I would go Good Will Hunting, but I don't want to waste my time. The prison industry in the United States, big business or a new form of slavery. This is by Vicky Pelaez. Human rights organizations, as well as political and social ones, are condemning what they are calling a new form of inhumane exploitation in the United States, where they say a prison population of up to 2 million, mostly black and Hispanic, of course, because the police don't discriminate when they arrest people, do they, are working for various industries for a pittance. Oh, what a surprise. For the tycoons who have invested in the prison industry, it's been like finding a pot of gold in a little leprechaun fashion. I don't have to worry about strikes or paying unemployment insurance, vacations or comp time. All of their workers are full-time and never arrive late or are absent because of family problems. Moreover, If they don't like the pay of 25 cents an hour and refuse to work, they are locked up in isolation cells. There are approximately 2 million inmates in state, federal, and private prisons throughout the country. According to California Prison Focus, no other society in human history has imprisoned so many of its own citizens. I believe this might have been a problem for a lot of real fascist regimes led by puppets like Barack H. O'Berry, the scumbag, John Key, Prime Minister of New Zealand, Merrill Lynch, in charge of derivatives, scumbag. You know, all these people have got a trail, and it's pretty straightforward to see it if you would only look just a little bit closer. And I think that's the problem with our society, really, is that we've decided that we don't want to look closer at anything. The guy who I talked to last night, who voted for Len Brown, I asked him, so what's one of his policies that you like after you voted for him? And he said, I don't know any of his policies, but here's why I voted for him. Yeah, we'll be right back.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
I take my anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tita Tonga, we don't know the banks. The parliament does so, so where'd you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slavery.
They print a $100 and loan it to you. They charge interest on the loan but don't print the interest. So there'll never be enough money to pay off all the debt. What do you get? Crash and burn. When will my people learn?
Oh my goodness.
Before it's too late. Hey, hey, hey. I got a new law for you.
It's terrible.
Charging interest illegal and I'll tear it all.
Sleight of hand and deception. Yeah, happens all the time. But nobody believes about it. And, well, I'm not sure if you heard, we're going through the last segment that the good old private prisons are now being turned into, well, more or less, slave depots. Isn't that lovely?
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Obama healthcare reform imposes 3.8% tax on all income from home sales and home rental income. This one from Natural News. News about Obama's healthcare reform just keeps getting worse, and we only find these things long after the bill has passed, of course. And as, what was her name? Pelosi. You know, when you hear something that's absolutely ridiculous, you say, oh, that's a lot of Pelosi. She said, oh, we've got to pass the bill in order to know what's in it. And she's darn right. You know why? Because every time that they do a reading of the bill, and by reading of the bill, it's just like a couple of people have read it and all the rest are just like, oh.
I don't give them time.
No, they don't give them time. They can't. They can't.
They give them like
right?
12 hours to read 700 pages. There you go. We rush
Whoop-a-cha!
It through.
Yeah. 700 pages in 12 hours. While you're a congressman and you got a family.
It's like a slick car salesman saying, sign this document, you know, and there's like 3 or 4 pages worth of legal text, you know, and just sign it. I'm rushing out, mate, you know. You got to buy the car now. Done. That's what they are. They're just slicksters.
Yep. And what's the victim of a slickster, though?
The retard who voted for them. You know, like, to be frank, I mean,
But aren't we all the victims then? Because
yeah, we are. Yeah. So that means, so this is the hard question for me. A lot of people say, look, you can't blame anyone, you can't get mad at anyone and stuff. And I, well, yeah, actually, I should be able to get mad locally at people who voted for the current mayor. Why not? Well, people say if you don't vote, you're responsible.
Yeah.
So surely if you do vote and the scumbag gets in and wrecks your city, then they're responsible too.
Yeah. Well, doesn't that mean that everybody who's pretty much ever voted for an American president who won is responsible for this, for the current degenerate state of America?
Well,
and vice versa. Isn't that about right? Maybe responsibility, personal responsibility for government was something that was bred out of us. You know, I remember when people used to rush into war to die for their country.
Well, government's got so big now, you have no responsibilities.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea of it.
To create a totally irresponsible society that can be easily duped, easily tricked, lied to, will believe everything they say, that they hear, everything that they see in print, everything they see on TV. Perfect little cattle. Right.
See, I know I upset people sometimes by saying the government's just as bad as the corporations. But it's true. I mean, look what state-run TV does. You know? It's a double act between corporations and government. You can't tell the difference sometimes. Sure, there might be some, you know, people were saying we should have a status model running our cities rather than corporate model. There might be a few pennies saved here and there. Might. But the same premise remains. I say have neither. I say have a people-run model. I say have an actual grassroots, community-run voluntarism model, because the majority of people are actually good. And how do you get more people employed and engaged in their community? Not by contracting it out. But, you know, apparently these are radical ideas.
And this is just basically an old idea that used to be around, used to work, and everybody used to be reasonably happy with it, right? And since that model's been removed for so long, it's now a radical idea. And this is a point I made to somebody a while back, that if an idea gets old enough and nobody hears anything about it for a while, when it returns, it will be seen as radical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if you slowly turn people away, and most people I reckon are like 180 degrees opposing what I call sensible. I don't know how it got to that point. I don't know how it got so bad. Other than just a gradual process of well, I know the general theme, but I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of beyond, it's more than the sum of its parts. You know, all the machinations are more than the sum of their parts. It could turn the other way, and it could be more, society could be more than the sum of its parts in a good way too. Quite easily. For instance, if people were to take $50,000 they had in the bank and buy gold, with that 50 grand, you would then take 500 plus grand out of the money supply, because remember, they're loaning at least tenfold out what you have in deposits. And if only 10% of the population did that, all the banks would be stuffed. If you take your money out and you put it in something, a commodity like gold, and the government can't tax it, and if they pass a law to try and do it, enough people would be that angry I don't think it would happen very easily. And it would affect the elite too, so they probably wouldn't do it. So if enough people buy into their commodities, gold, silver, platinum, we wouldn't have enough deposits for the banks to be able to issue the fiat currency. And the government wouldn't be able to tax it. And you'd end up with some form of financial independence and preservation of long-term wealth on a societal level. That's one thing they'd hate. So they radicalize it, they demonize it, they say it's risky. You know that gold's gone up 24% since my birthday this year, since the 24th of March. To 2 days ago when it reached 1346 a troy ounce. Gold's gone up 24%. I could have took a loan out at 18% at the start of the year and bought 10 grand worth of gold and made 25% almost on that and paid back the interest to 18% and still made more money than a term investment in the bank. I still made 7% over and above paying the bank back.
Now that would
that's
be an
what the bank does
scheme.
With your money. That's what the bank does with your money.
That would be an interesting scheme, right? Yes. Loans for gold. What you do is you encourage people to take out massive loans and to get gold with it. And the idea is, by the time the gold price has skyrocketed, they can easily pay off the loan. And you'll be in with a little bit of extra coin.
By the time it skyrocketed? You're seeing what it's doing right now? But
I mean, maybe about a month after you've bought it, for example.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is, you know, imagine if only just 10% of people took their money out of the bank today, it would go down. But then the government steps in the so-called free market model. I have to listen to a former supposed activist here in New Zealand. His name's Martin Bomber Bradbury. On New Zealand national radio yesterday afternoon, talk about how this is all a capitalist problem. This is a greed and capitalist problem. But no naming of names, no Ben Bernanke's mentioned, no Timothy Geithner's mentioned, no austerity measures mentioned. In fact, they were saying we need to liquidate ourselves. We need to go back to living like a third world country. This is what we need to do. That's not the answer. That's the solution that the globalists want. Which is why I say these people are shills. To their faces, happily. You know what I mean? They are absolute shills. They're trying to misdirect people. They're not trying to help any of their audience survive the coming cataclysm. Or help prepare them in any meaningful way. You know, and just to say it's capitalism. Bailing out, you know, $25 trillion bailouts is not capitalism. How do they pay for
that? Goodness knows what kind of ism that is.
It's the closest thing to socialism. I mean, it is socialism, to be honest. And I know the socialists would be yelling right now.
Speaking of socialism, exactly what sort of weird, twisted and perverted mindset exploits children by making them explode in global warming alarmist movies or as in sick piece of advertising? Now, have anybody ever seen these climate change movies where, like, children are, like, they press a button and they blow up the children because they don't want to sign up to reduce their carbon emissions by 10%?
It's a beautiful advert, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely beautiful. I've got another one here, and it's got a little girl with a rope around her neck and her hands bound behind her back as she's standing on top of a melting little iceberg. And it says, climate change, human impact, creative challenge. What's the creative challenge about hanging a little girl, Mr. Climate Cultist?
You know, it's really sick, aren't they?
They're just evil, man. I mean, seriously, it reminds me of like pre-World War II anti-Jewish propaganda. That's what it reminds me of, you know. If you go and buy anything off a Jew, they will kill you or something. You know, it's just like ridiculous.
You know, I was thinking yesterday.
Hate of the human race that these climate cultists have got, man. Pure hate of the human race.
Yeah. I was thinking yesterday, Vinny, about how, you know, how we're seen as extremists and how we're just over the top and everything about everything we believe in.
Oh, if those
I realized how the average person is way more over the top about far smaller, less consequential things. And here's an example. In New Zealand.
Oh, something tells me this is going to make me laugh. Go ahead.
You will. Probably. In New Zealand, you might not agree, we had a Springbok tour in 1981, whereby the South African rugby team engaged in, I think it was, 3 games with our New Zealand All Blacks, you know, because that's all our country runs by over here, by the way. It's rugby and fluoride beer. Anyway, and I used to play rugby, so I'm not totally against all sports or anything. Anyway, these 3 games were challenged, and the lead protester against this challenge was John Minto, I guess you could say an anarcho-commie leftist, who posited that we shouldn't have the South Africans over because they're engaging in apartheid. Now, I always tended to agree growing up. But now I've come to realize, perhaps, not. I don't know where I stand on the issue. Put it that way. It's a rugby game. It's not necessarily related to politics. It would be like me saying, it would be like the equivalent of the truth is saying, Bilderberg can't come to our country. Or we're going to go and drop flower bombs and riot like they did over the Springbok tour here in Auckland, New Zealand. We're going to go and riot and stuff over Bohemian Grove being attended. That would be the truth or equivalent. But we don't. We make little videos and people go, oh, you know, shut up, you nut. Just for videos on YouTube. That's not violence. That's not as extreme as things can get. That's not as extreme as I want to get sometimes.
Now, this comes onto a subject.
Over something like racism in another country that's existed for a couple of hundred years at least, and a rugby game that's somehow related, that's like me saying, anyone who brings in Federal Reserve notes into New Zealand, I'm going to pick at them and you know, punch them in the face, you know? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that fanatical, even though I know they're doing what they're doing to our country, or killing children with vaccines and stuff. We don't go and smash in, these clinics doing this. But that was the equivalent of what the Springbok Tour protests were against something that's kind of abstract. You know, the rugby game represents our agreeance with apartheid in a weird way, no more so than our banking system represents our agreeance with the Wall Street guys. Yeah? This is why people are mentally ill, man. I wouldn't protest about the Springbok tour. That wouldn't get my goat. Yeah, there's racism. You bet. I've grown up with it myself. Yeah, get over it, guys.
Yeah, and there's a source of much anger in the truth movement. And, you know, I get angry, you get angry. Heck, at least we're getting stuff done. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. and we actually discuss really important stuff on the show, unlike mainstream media shills and pathetic false representations of any description of political thought or activism. And we'll be right back. I can't believe it.
Ooh, yeah.
We're jamming on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. And I want to talk about anger in the truth movement. It's interesting. In this movement, if you know anything about what's going on, I mean, in reality, you know, and you care, you'll probably be an angry person, right? That's the natural reaction. And so it means that a lot of truthers are pretty angry. And the only way to get over their anger is to be active. Because then you can deal with it because you're doing something about it. It's just my two cents on there. I think, like, you know, I've been getting pretty upset over the theft of my country, enslavement of my people, increases of my taxes. And I think everybody's kind of dealing with this in a certain way. Everything that has previously been built up by everyone in our society, all of our grandparents and parents that worked, fought, died, busted their cases, it's all going to be gone if we don't do something to save it. And my natural reaction is to get angry at the culprit. You know, get angry at the New World Order, get angry at the banksters, get angry at the false political scumbags, get angry at the pathetic psychiatrists who prescribe huge amounts of dangerous psychotropic drugs and don't care, and then get free tickets to a Calypso King concert or something.
Well, this is the point I was trying to make before, Vinny. Of look how you know, some of these protesters, and they normally are on the left because the fake right just sit at home and pretend everything's just fine whilst the police state grows, and they support that and the war on terror. But the fake left, to keep things nice and equal, they get real excited about Springbok Tour. You know, a rugby game held here. I guess it's kind of an insult, kind of whatever. I don't really feel strongly either way about it, to be honest. If you want to look into the history of that event, but climate change, yeah, big, kinda. If they believe in it, but it's still not New World Order big. It's still not as expansive and diverse and it doesn't cover as many fields as New World Order does. It's not, you know, if they respond like blowing up people and doing the sort of diatribe they do, you know, we know where you live, climate deniers, all this sort of stuff. Imagine Alex Jones made videos blowing up people who deny conspiracy theories. Blowing up 9/11 deniers. Imagine we were to blow up. You know what I mean? But we don't. But this is the thing, Vinny. So we're involved in much, much, much more serious stuff than these little chicken neck commies and leftist scum. Yet they take their stuff way more seriously than we do, and then they call us the extremists. You know, that's the... Can people see that? You know, like, if we were like the left and responding in to our own political causes, going by their logic, we should be like jumping off rooftops by now and just throwing off, you know, 9/11 deniers, and people who say the Fed doesn't exist, you know, shooting them. That's what they would do. judging by their antics over climate change and Chicken Little debates.
Yeah.
But we don't, because we're not actually extremist. Actually very well-tempered people, in, by and large, the truth movement. It's a few nutcases. As there are in any group. Any group. But by and large, there's no murders going on. And the infighting. You know?
Yeah.
For all the name-calling and accusations and this, that, and the other, and the seriousness of it, as far as I know, no one's been killed by one another.
Yeah, it's like truthers don't kill other truthers. You know? Just don't.
And truthers don't kill non-truthers.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, truthers are basically more or less either defensive or tactical.
In fact, I've seen, you know, we know the guy who was 9/11 truther who was set up by Fox News and claimed to have assaulted the little girl in the wheelchair a couple of years back. That was obviously a setup because we got some extra footage showing exactly what transpired there. So I'm yet to see even a truther assault someone. You know, there was that little Michelle Malkin incident where some of her goons got a bit heavy-handed, and there was a bit of a scene there at the Denver Mint there. There have been a few little scenes, but I don't see truthers going around hurting people and calling for violence and that in any real way.
And all the people who do that are supposedly truthers turn out to be agents of the FBI or some other such organization.
Yeah, Hal Turner's. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there is nothing, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if somebody's speaking about the truth movement, okay, they're not dangerous. All right? At worst, as again with any other movement, a little bit wacky. And I think it's important for this to be common knowledge that truthers aren't dangerous. Because we, I don't know, who is it? Old Glenn Beck? Isn't he trying to demonize us? You know, so that 9/11 truth want to assassinate President Barack H. O'Berry. And it's just unacceptable to me, man. I mean, come on.
There is a 9/11 truther in the White House.
Oh,
my God. The president is in danger.
Ooh.
The FBI need to get him out now.
Really?
That was that transmission he did. Do you remember that one?
Oh, he's really?
He's like, guys, I just love my country. And as much as I don't like Barack Obama and his men, I don't want to see one of these 9/11 truthers kill him. He's crying. He's so emotional. People got to look it up on YouTube, man. The guy's insane. The guy's absolutely nuts. Total scumbag.
For F's sake, eh?
But then people who... But this is the layers of truth, you see. I've got friends around the place and on Facebook and whatnot who are kind of, I consider, libertarian, conservative, right-wing, in a good sense, understand the First and Second Amendments, you know, in the States and New Zealand, and they like Glenn Beck, sadly, some of these people, because it's all about seeing through the total, you know what I mean? Some people can't see, they can see through a certain level, but they're like, well, why don't you like Glenn Beck? He's against climate change. Why don't you like Glenn Beck? He's against the banker bailout. Oh, because Glenn Beck won't tell you there's 13 families behind it. He won't go very far at all. He won't tell you at the... he tells you the Fed's private. Give him that cred a bit. I give him that cred. But he co-ops the momentum that brings.
And incidentally, because he's been doing so much fibbing of late... he's lost a huge amount of his audience and a lot of his sponsors.
Yep. He's still got a $50 million 24-month contract. $50 million 24-month contract, and that's part of his crying thing. You know, I couldn't pay my rent 5 years ago, and all this sort of stuff.
He's a little demon, yeah. Isn't he?
And then the left go Fox News, you know, because we all know Fox News lies, and even, you know, most of the 9/11 Truth Movement has been saying that for years, because they demonized Charlie Sheen and Willie Nelson and everyone else, called them pinheads of the week on Bill O'Reilly's show. It's then the people who don't understand how sometimes the media is on your side, sometimes they're not. It's not all carte blanche. It's not all simple. Then people say, well, look, Glenn Beck's saying what you're saying about the Federal Reserve. It must be wrong. See, so he co-ops the right, and he turns off the left, and uses reverse psychology against them. And that's why they paid him $50 million. Yeah, there's a reason.
Well, $50 million shill. I mean, now that's the kind of shill that I'd love. You know,
that's public money we know about.
Oh yeah,
that's not the FBI contracts. CIA contracts.
Oh, yeah. All his cocaine profits. Oh, man. The CIA is so fabulous, eh? I mean, nobody can get you more coke than the CIA. Except for the Coca-Cola Company, of course. There's so much dangerous projects out there. I mean, well, hold on. In fact, this is another subject that was touched on last night. Was that our entire environment is poisonous now? Didn't used to be. But now it is. Very, very slowly. Everything that used to be clean and relatively sweet airs has now become somewhat poisonous. You know? The water used to be clean, and now it's got fluoride in it, so it's poisonous. The fruit and vegetables used to be fresh and grown locally, and now they're artificially grown with huge chemical fertilizers and are poisonous. And this is the same with everything. So that life itself becomes one entire toxic bath. You're just bathing in toxins from morning till night, and all the while you sleep. Cancer rate's gone up tremendously. What was it, 1 in 54, halfway through this last century, to 1 in 2 in New Zealand and 1 in 3 in America today. And goodness knows how many people die of so-called natural causes. Probably a heck of a lot less than all the people that die from all the toxins in their environment. Wouldn't you agree, Will?
Say so. Definitely say so.
So as the majority of people are sick, and this is the thing I know, health reflects on your mental health. And so because everybody's so sick, it's then no surprise everybody's so crazy. You know?
They can't think clearly, and they can't concentrate. And
yeah, so it's not their fault, bro. I mean, the society's, you know, it's going to poison them into being such retards.
Yeah, but at the same time, it is the fault, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's all a matter of degrees and stuff, but instead of trying to attribute blame, let's just do something about these things, you know? And that's what we... I guess that's what the show's about, really, isn't it? We don't know how many people are listening right now, but... You know the problems. You know the bankers are wrecking your dollar right now over in the States, anywhere you are, in fact. They're wrecking your currency. They're driving your savings, anything you've worked for, everything you do work for, into the ground. They're taking the majority of your wages in the form of tax and using it to wage war on you. Using it to poison your water and food. Using it to pay off foreign contractors. Using it to bring in foreign armies. They're sickos. They hold different philosophies than probably anyone you know and love. And they're rampant killers. So ultimately, what do we do? You know, do you go along with your life? Do you go along with your weekend? Do you go along with your day? Or do you, in your day-to-day meetings with people, in a personal sort of way, do you try and engage people and try and make something different? Just try, because it's easier now than it will be in 5 years, if we make it 5 years.
Yeah, it's easier now than it will be even tomorrow. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Keep listening. Keep listening now as we go to break and think about what you can do to fight the new world order.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's that time of the week. It's Saturday in New Zealand, 8:50 a.m. local time. And at the end of the week, I always like to give a shout out to all the people that make this show possible. Our great sponsors, Uncensored and Garden Microbes and Build Your Own Website. All very good guys, and very good products. Now, on top of that, there's of course my co-host Will, fabulous source of info in general, executive producer Mitch, who I've instructed to take today off so he can catch up on some sleep, so he's working himself ragged. And our associate producer, Chris, who sends us a lot of amazing articles on a very regular basis, so that we've got pretty mean info to be going through on this show. And, of course, our great board op, Dan Jr., owner of the network, Danny. Cheers, guys. Just fabulous to be here on American Freedom Radio, speaking with our fabulous American audience and all the other listeners all around the world, you know. I mean, I guess it's pretty cool, you know, in the real sense of the word, because in general, rarely do people get to do what they really want to do. Quite rarely. And I find it's like most things in my life, all the best things have been given to me. Yeah, life itself, you know, for example, I didn't create myself, it was given to me. Mum, my dad, you know. And so all the rest of life, I reckon, is just kind of playing out appreciation for all the stuff that I should be grateful for, really. And fighting to retain all that as well is also, I think, a pretty good idea. Before it's all snatched away by international banksters who have no concern for the sanctity of human
life. It's rightfully theirs, though, Vinny. It's all rightfully theirs. They're the rightful owners of this place.
Of course they are. You know. And what should we have to say about it? Nothing. No. All it is our future. Our inheritance, so to speak.
No inheritance in communism, mate.
Yeah. Really? Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, that's in the Marx Manifesto.
It'd be interesting if that was actually true, right? And all these eco-fascist, commie, rich folk, Rothschilds, Rockefellers and all of them, couldn't get their inheritance or their family fortunes no more.
Well, that's why the Rothschilds paid and bore the ideas that Marx and Engels came up with. In Marx's 1848 Communist Manifesto, the state takes, amongst everything else, your inheritance, your property, to stop the bourgeoisie, an elite, from gathering. But the state takes it, right, and gives it to the real elite. You know the same ones, these commies like John Minto can't even see today, the same ones that run his currency? It's a beautiful system. And these people are so stupid in the most ugly way not to see it. They take, they'll take it all, give it to the state and consolidate it for the true elite while saying we're taking it from these wealthy families to stop them, just to prevent inequality. And they create the highest inequality of the...
Hey, well, all you got to do is just tell people the direct opposite of what you're doing. And then when somebody accuses you of doing what you're doing, everybody says, nah, he's doing the direct opposite.
Yeah.
It really has gotten that big, that easy to deceive people these days, isn't it? Okay, and that's part of the international perspective of Americans these days as well. There's a lot of that going around, actually, that you can sell anything to an American or whatever. It's like so stupid they'll believe anything. And it's just like, well, bro, it's not just America, man. Everybody's been so dumbed down that they'll believe anything. Everybody. You know, it's a global
problem.
People
see a little bit of propaganda. They see through a little bit and they think they're totally enlightened. And then they go and say, oh, the whole of America's stupid. America 230 years ago was a very smart nation. America had, you know, close to one of the most real revolutions in modern history. Close to. You know, that's more than I can say for the average sap sitting around my neighborhood.
Lapping up the communism.
Yep. Just lapping up tyranny. It doesn't really even matter what ism it is. It's fascism and capitalism and communism and cronyism.
Yeah, it's just one form or another, isn't it? You know, how are we supposed to have any faith in a system that never changes because it's always just trying to make itself worse? And that's the thing that needs to change. It needs to stop getting worse so it can start getting better. And in order for that to happen, people have got to stop being part of the problem and start being part of the solution. And if you're a listener of the show, you can play your part. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and go to the archives page and flick out a few links to your friends and family. I'm pretty sure they'll like it. So, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, crew of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and thank you, the listeners. We'll be back next week.